the Lord for us this morning, and in this Epiphany season, thinking about moving through the Holy Spirit using the theme that we're embraced in, the light that shines through, the light of Jesus Christ, the salvation of the person who gives us that gift and that blessing of Jesus, who loves us and lives in us, shining through us. And we hear this call from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord God Almighty rises upon you. And even as Isaiah proclaimed that truth many years before, now we gather with Jesus at the Jordan River. And while John, his cousin, is baptizing, Jesus is baptized too. And the Father proclaims the fulfillment of this prophecy and others. Here is my Son. I love him. I'm pleased with him. This is the light of your salvation that was promised long ago, and he is here for you now to save. He is HaMashiach, the Messiah, and he will bring salvation to you in his life and all that he is. So as we hear from Luke today, we get into chapter 3, verse 15, the gospel. Let's move through this word as it speaks to us and hear that the people were waiting expectantly, longingly. They were looking forward to something and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. When Luke gives this description, what he's sharing with us, and the Spirit gives insight into us, is that he's giving us a description of our cultural, of their cultural climate. A cultural climate that we have in common too. In fact, people throughout time share in this kind of cultural climate because it's a part of a sinful, broken world in which we live in. And it's a world in which we're longing and waiting for something new, something to happen, something to break us out of the winter doldrums, the cold weather, something that would bring us into a new opportunity. In fact, part of what marks us for in our culture, in our society, are New Year's resolutions, right? Here's one of my New Year's resolutions. This year, I'm going to get in shape. I'm thinking about a hexagon. No, that's not funny. I thought that was pretty funny. Okay. But did you know that Friday is called Quitter's Day? In fact, the second Friday after New Year's Day is when 90% of people quit their resolutions. Well, those resolutions were good while they lasted, right? You can spend. I spent time on memes this week, and I found some things that I thought might help us today. Apparently not. Well, anyway, this is the description of our culture as we see ourselves paralleled with the culture in which Jesus was entering. And one of the things that they were dealing with was they were dealing with an unwanted invasion. Rome was their unwanted invasion. If we ponder that a little bit, a minute for us, it may not be that we see technology and all of its advancements and all the good that it serves for us, or even entertainment and all the opportunities that we have with it, that these have allowed us to have a very comfortable life in these modern days. But if we look upon them from what they are for us as a people spiritually, in connection with the light, many of these things we're finding as we're moving through what we're calling a post-Christian culture, many of these things have driven a wedge in people's hearts and lives, something that we wrestle with too, that says we don't need God. We've got all the answers. We've got everything we need. We don't need God. This is one of the things that folks who study where we are as the church and the body of Christ and living in a post-Christian culture are finding responses giving, even from Christians like you and me, active in the faith. There's this creep that's come in. Maybe we don't really need God. There's another parallel that we see between those people that John was baptizing, waiting expectantly for. They were longing for a better days of the past. They were looking at when David was king and all of they were the powerful nation of the time, and things were good in the land. Boy, why can't we go back there? And for many in this post-Christian culture, especially we in the church, long for those days as well, when we were the ones who were influencing culture, society, and the ways of the Lord. Why can't we go back to that? And in fact, for those who are no longer a part of the church, the number one reason why those nuns, as we call them, not N-U-N-S, N-O-N-E-S, the nuns, they claim a spirituality, but they don't claim a place to connect in that spirituality, because as good as we might think it was in the past, they're saying, the church has failed me. When I was hurting, no one was there. The hypocrisy that I saw, absolutely, no one repented of. No one asked for forgiveness. No one confessed error or wrong. And all the things that they were hearing, the church proclaiming, none of that was lived out in the example of our lives. Well, there's one more. Those people there by the Jordan River waiting, being baptized by John, were expectantly looking for something to come. They were looking for the Messiah. Right? When will the prophecies like Isaiah, arise, shine, your light has come? When would that be fulfilled? And in fact, in those days of waiting, what we see throughout the Old Testament scripture is that they were constantly bombarded by messages that said, hey, here's something for you to trust in. Something new, something maybe exciting, something that will take away that longing and fill it in. But of course, those were all empty promises. And for us as well today too, in this day in which we live, of constantly bombarded by messages through media and our culture that we live in, people replace the message of the light of salvation with something else seems trustworthy. Maybe you wrestle with that too. When the Lord doesn't always answer right away, or even in the way that you would like, or when his word is confusing and doesn't make sense, there's a plethora of messages out there that are happy to fill that void when faith is weak. The culture in which they lived, which is very similar to the culture we live, except for some changes in modernity, some things in which we deal with maybe now, and they didn't, but they dealt with things in which we don't today. But the underlying issues of human nature and sin and the conflict between who we are and the Lord God who loves us, those things are there. And it's very easy for us to do two things. Blame, well, it's their fault, whoever they is. And just spend time reminiscing. Oh, the good old days. Very easy to stay in those two places. And isn't that exactly where the devil wants us? To blame and to simply reminisce. Because then he keeps us from the mission that God has given to us, to arise and shine. The light has come. We're not people defined by the culture and society. We're not even people defined by our sin. We've died to sin. It has no more mastery over us, the Spirit says. And so, while the devil works to invade his darkness over the light shines, and darkness will never overcome it. That's our hope, the promise. That's our life in the kingdom. And so John would go on to preach to these people by the Jordan River, look, this is what's coming. The one who's coming, his winnowing fork is in his hand. He's saying, enough is enough. No more reign of darkness. Your light has come. He's my son, whom I love. I'm well pleased with him. Because Jesus is coming to establish the kingdom of God in the reign of hearts and lives of people like you and me who've been called by grace and into faith as members of the kingdom. He's coming to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, to establish his salvation and gather people whom he loves, who know him as the Messiah, to gather them to himself. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Yeah. condemnation, for unbelief, for a disregard for the kingdom, that too will come. And this message that John spoke, this message that comes to us today in our culture, in this day and age, for us as God's people, this is the one who is fulfilled, this message is fulfilled in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And while the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And when he was in the water, he was praying. He was speaking in this holy conversation like we have with his Heavenly Father, with our Heavenly Father. And as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit manifested itself, coming down and alighting on Jesus like a dove. The foretaste of what would come for all of those like you and me, baptized into Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit alighting on us, living in us, making a home within us. And the Father speaking over Jesus, "This is my Son whom I love. I am well pleased with him." Jesus, with you, I am well pleased. I'm pleased with your gift to humanity. I'm pleased with you as the sacrifice to offer forgiveness through the shedding of your blood. I'm pleased to raise you to life that people who know you would have your life living in them. I'm pleased to have you reigning at my Father, at my right hand as the Father, and to send you back one day in glory to make all things new. I'm pleased with you, Jesus. And if the Father's pleased with his Son, and the Son lives in us, then the Father's pleased with us as well. Forgiven and renewed and alive in Jesus Christ. People who hear this message, who hear in this day and age in which we live, who hear the message of Isaiah, "Arise and shine. Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord, he rises among you." This is the message that we know and is in us and carry to the world. And we carry it to the world in lots of different ways as God has manifested himself by his Spirit in you. But we can get some examples from John, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptizer. And one of those examples that we can see how the light shines through us is in what John said in verse 16. "There's one who is more powerful than I who will come, and the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." Simple little statement, but carries a lot of freight behind it. Kind of a New Year's resolution in many ways of what John is saying. Because what John is saying is giving us insight into the aspects of faith that are lived out within us as light, where John is exercising vulnerability. There's one greater than me. I don't have it all under control. And in fact, there's one greater than me whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. He's that powerful, that great. I'm worthy only of bowing at his feet and untying those sandals. John, in many ways, is saying, "I need the Lord God because of who he is." And in a world and in a culture that thinks it's got all the answers or can get the answers at the punching in of a few letters into their phone, that's a powerful message for us to carry to the world. We don't have it all together. We need God. We need what he gives to us. And I am vulnerable. And in fact, I'm willing to be vulnerable with you or for you on your behalf. A message of the gospel that enters into people's lives with the message of Jesus. How we exercise vulnerability is a message of hope to the world, because they see then Jesus, their hope, in us. There's another example that we get from John. It's in verse 18, how the light rises upon us. John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. There's a unique word, a unique phrase that is used here by the Holy Spirit as what John is doing. I call this holy hugging. Holy hugging. I am an exhorter of the good news. And here's that word, parakaleo. It comes from the word paraclete. And you know what that word is. That word is the New Testament word for the Holy Spirit. We are holy huggers. of the light of Jesus Christ, embracing people in their needs and where they are, and admitting, yes, there are times when I fail, when we as the church, the body of Christ, have failed you. We are, after all, sinful human beings who are redeemed. But we live in forgiveness, and forgiveness goes on. It lets us to be, it brings us into a newness of life that allows us to go on in life. And so let me offer a holy hug of the word of the embrace of Jesus, the light of salvation. Let me encourage you in your faith, right? Let me embrace you in your weakness right now. Let me walk beside you in what you're going through. Let me pray for you, of course. All of these are aspects of the holy hug. And so each day, we get to express these messages of hope and light for people. And finally, when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other things that Herod had done, well, what does Herod do? He locks John up in prison. And then after a time, when he's holding a party, a birthday party, he makes a promise, and that promise cost John the Baptist his life. But here we see John as an example of the light of which he knows his Savior, Messiah, that there is soul adherence to the message of salvation. There's nothing else of the priority in my life, is John's example, for you and me. As we're called into that message of salvation, even if it costs me my freedom, even if it brings me into persecution, and even if I'm asked to lay down my life, soul adherence to the good news of Jesus Christ, because that's how Jesus has lived for me. And I know that gift of salvation and hope and life. I know his light. I know the place where there will be eternal light, that he's even preparing a place there for me. And so, I arise and shine, for the light has come. His name is Jesus, and he is my Savior who lives in me. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of your word and the light of salvation that is Jesus Christ. We long to walk as a child of light. Empower and bless us and strengthen us now by that same Spirit that alighted on Jesus as he lives in us, to walk as children of light, to your praise and to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.